Okay, it is now 9:01. This special session of the Civil Service Commission is called to order. First order of business is disclosure of any potential conflicts of interest and mid-month activities. For myself, I've traded a few emails with a community member, Kim Hendrickson, primarily relating to police department operations. And also in specific to the topic of this meeting. I also serve on a county commission which distributes proceeds from the MID attacks. That has some tangential involvement with members of the police department in terms of funding, training for police officers, but no direct involvement with the subject of this commission.
This is Rob Killian, no conflicts of interest and no between meeting communications.
This is Trenton Berg, nothing to report.
Kathy Dunn, no conflicts of interest. I did send an email to Lieutenant Guantoli resigning from the Citizens Roundtable, so that there would be no conflicts of interest there.
Okay, the next order is public comment, and looking around and seeing no members of the public which to offer a comment, we'll move on to the next item, selecting a date for a civil service hearing.
Okay, so a couple quick things here. I just want to state for the record, no evidence will be given at this meeting. The whole purpose of this is just to set a date for the future hearing. And I want to just also let you know I had gotten some advice from Scott that you should be cautioned not to further discuss this issue or details of the appeal or anything that we have previously heard about the appellant in previous meetings until the hearing. And then also note that once we have the hearing, you will be asked to reveal any past discussions, so we'll basically have to bring up the fact that we have heard information about the appellant in the past. In executive session, we'll have to discuss that. So I just wanted to let you all know that right off the bat. So as far as the date goes, I have requested some options from the candidate, or excuse me, from the appellant, and here are the options that work for both the appellant and for the chief. So also note that there's according to our rules, there is a 20-day restriction, so the date of the appeal hearing cannot be sooner than 20 business days from today. And that purpose of that is to allow both parties time to prepare their arguments for the hearing. So I also informed both the appellant and the chief that they had the option to waive that if they wanted a more expedient hearing date, but neither chose to do that. So we have some dates that are further out in the future. And the first option is August. August 30th. From 11 to noon.
August 30th is a Saturday.
Oh, sorry, I'm sorry. It's July. One of them is August 13th. July 30th from 11 to noon. July 31st, 9 to 11 or 4 to 5. And it could be 4 to 6 or something, but it would start at 4. And then August 13th. Was an option that the appellant provided, but that does not work for the chief. So,
the 31st is really good for
me.
The 31st is the afternoon one?
There's two options. We could do like a morning 9 to 11, or in the afternoon starting at 4.
I need a morning time. The date doesn't matter.
Is 11 too late in the morning? 11 a.m.
Just start?
Yeah, is that too late? Because the 30th, there's 11 to noon. And also, I mean, if none of these dates work, the appellant has provided the full date, and if needed, I can go back and request that the chief move certain things. Like, there's a lot on this calendar, and some of it is not flexible. Other things are. So ideally, if we could select one of these times, that's the best thing. But if they don't work for the commission, then I have the option to go back to the chief and say, look, I'm, you know, I need you to move whatever meeting. So.
Anybody have any?
I'm good on both Wednesday or Thursday, the 30th to 31st. That's fine. Morning does work better for me as well.
Okay.
Yeah, 30th and 31st work for me too.
Okay.
31st.
Okay, so do you want to do the 31st from 9 to 11 then? Start with that. Okay.
So the Thursday, July 31st from 9 to 11?
Yes. And I will then send an official notice out to both parties, informing them the date that the hearing, date and time that the hearing has been set for.
Did we also check with the background investigator, the detective, just so he can be available as well if we need any additional information?
Yes.
For details.
Yeah, that shouldn't be, they should be able to be flexible for that. So, and I am not sure, but I'm going to try. I don't know at this point if it's needed or not, but I would feel more comfortable if Scott were present for the hearing, so I'm going to try to arrange that as well. He may not be, and he may just have to kind of coach me in advance of the hearing, but I will. It's my intention to have him at the hearing.
Can you give us an overview kind of what the hearing will be like?
Honestly, I don't know. And there's one more thing that we need to decide that will give us a better idea of what the hearing will be like. But my understanding is basically it will either be open or closed, so on recording or done in a private session. And we have the ability to do it in a private session because they are, let's see where. It's a contested hearing between two parties. So we have the ability to have it in a closed session, and that choice is up to the candidate, or the, not candidates, but the parties have given me their indication of what their preference would be for the hearing. But regardless of that, so basically we would either record it or have a closed session, hear the sides. The chief would present the evidence that he has against the appellant or for reasons that he was removed from the list. And the appellant would then have the opportunity to, you know, provide his side of the story and refute, you know, what was found in the background. So basically it will be, I mean, I kind of imagine it will be kind of a standard hearing. The other thing to keep in mind is that unlike a termination or discipline hearing, the applicant, so in this case the appellant, has the burden of proof. So it is his job to, you know, support, to basically show that he deserves to be reinstated on the list.
As far as the open or closed hearing, who's the decision-making authority on the point?
It's the commission's decision. However, I don't know if you want to do that now before we officially, you know, make a motion on the date, but the appellant would like it to be a closed hearing.
Right.
And the chief initially said open, but then said he honestly doesn't really have an opinion. And they are both aware that regardless of whether it's open or closed, the decision, the final decision and the record will be made in public session. So either way, there will be a portion of it that is available for...
Now, if we do the closed hearing, what portion would be in the public record?
Just the final portion, the decision. So, yes, the record and final decision are public records, even if the hearing is closed. So, whatever, if you decide that he does, you know, this person is, you're not going to reinstate him on the list, that's part of the record. If you decide that you are going to reinstate him on the list, that's part of the public record. So, any decision, it's just like a executive session, basically, that you can discuss the kind of confidential matters without, you know, public being able to listen to that, but any decision, any action out of that has to be taken in public.
Do we know if the appellant is represented?
I don't know, and I don't imagine that he will be.
Okay. And is there a right to cross-examination between the parties?
I have no idea.
Yeah, from behind you, I've never done one of these before. Well, I'm sure you've
never. I never have either, and from what I've been talking to Scott about, I would imagine that the commission has the ability to cross-examine. You know, I don't think that there will be much dialogue between the two parties. I think it will be more like, you know, if the commission has questions for either party, that you will be able to ask those, kind of similar to the way we conducted the executive session when we had the, you know, the removal from the list, where you had, in, you know, kind of back and forth questions.
Yeah, and then the reason I'm asking is it really kind of goes to due process for the applicant. That if we sit down at the table and the chief presents information in greater detail than the applicant is aware of, you know, then we kind of have a blindsiding issue. And at some point, you try and deal with that by making sure that doesn't happen and both sides get full disclosure before they sit down at the table. But if you do have some issue of blindsiding, about the only way you can really effectively remedy it at the time is to say, okay, applicant, you get to ask the chief about the content of that information and test it. And chief, the applicant says so-and-so, so you get to question and test that information. And without having that testing provision, it's really hard to have a fair hearing.
That's kind of my thinking as well, is that just as if this is a quasi-judicial proceeding, that applicant or the appellant should have his full record. He should, just as he would be able to request a disclosure of all the information that a prosecutor has against him in a criminal case, he should have the ability to have his entire background record presented to him ahead of time so he can prepare his defense accordingly before he walks in the room that day, just as he would before, again, if it was similar to a court of law.
Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of a due process thing, and if he has the burden of proof, and that's one of the fairness things we really kind of need to be careful to safeguard.
Okay. Well, I'll talk to Scott about that, because that's not anything that was previously mentioned to me.
Yeah, and it'd be good to get a briefing, too, from Scott. So I've never done one of these, so I want to make sure we do it right.
Well, I mean, we are already having that dialogue. He was the very first phone call I made when the appeal came in was, I have never done this. And I know that we have had them before, but I feel like I would rather...
Yeah, I think the biggest question is make sure we're maintaining due process to the applicant. There's adequate disclosure, and to make sure that the appellant has the right to meaningfully test the information that he's got to respond to meet his burden of proof.
Okay.
You know, in regard to the burden of proof, it's not beyond a reasonable doubt. It's a much lower level burden of proof. I think it's actually written into our rules. Totality of the circumstances, it's 51%. It's a much more civil level burden of proof that needs to be surpassed in lieu of a beyond a reasonable doubt in a criminal case.
Okay, because in this it says, from what Scott had provided, it says that the applicant has the burden of proof going forward, must prove by a preponderance of the evidence that just cause does not exist to remove his name from the eligibility list.
The civil standard is just more than 50% of the evidence has to go in his favor.
So, okay. Well, I will reach out to Scott and see if we're able to provide that, his record or the background findings or whatever. So, and if I am able to, I will get that to the appellant.
Yeah, if we can't, because obviously some of the background may be privileged because of the method of the background and the source of the information. Another way that you can deal with that is to simply carve out and go, okay, here's what you get, and then the department's pretty much limited to arguing what was provided. Again, just make sure you don't have it, a trial by sabotage or a blindsiding.
Okay. I think, I don't know if this is relevant or not, but I think I recall that they sign a waiver right up front before they do any of the,
they sign a waiver,
saying that they will not be provided the results of those, but this may be something totally different.
Yeah.
I mean, the short answer is I need to talk to Scott about it.
We need really make sure we're maintaining due process and that we're not painting the appellant into an untenable position
right.
of having to meet a burden of proof that he can't meet because we kept secrets from him.
Right. No, I mean, I understand. I totally understand the concept. I will talk to Scott to see what I need to do to make things right.
Okay.
That
would really help.
Okay. So I don't know if that answered your question.
No, thank you.
And if I remember, we delayed our July meeting, so we're meeting one more time in regular session before we hear the appeal.
Yes, because our July meeting is going to be July 16th.
Yeah, so our regular
meeting is canceled, which I haven't posted that notice yet. I didn't want to make a ton of confusion and post like a cancellation and a meeting notice at the same time, so I figured we would have this and then...
Right, and one thing is that would be a good time to get the information back from Scott and to make sure that we all have a collective understanding of how the hearing will go so that we can conduct the hearing much more better and present ourselves much more better to the parties.
In a professional way.
Yeah, if we don't look like, if we don't know what we're doing, it's going to show and it's going to reflect badly on us.
No, I totally understand that. That's why, like I said, from the outset of this, I have been working with Scott because I think it's important that we do things the right way. And I am very unsure. I have never been through this. And like I said, I know that the commission has before, but I just would rather, I feel like there's a lot of loose ends. And not necessarily because of the commission, but just like I think there's just a, like all the things that have come up with the rules, and I would rather be.
I think it's loose ends because everyone's on the same learning curve.
Yes.
And if we recognize that, that's good, and we can provide for it. If we don't recognize it, then I think we're going to embarrass ourselves.
Well, and it's a good. I mean, it costs us a significant amount of money to use him, but I think it's a worthwhile expense. For something like this, and to, learn how to conduct these things the right way, how we can, I don't know, just, I think overall it's helpful to get his opinions on things. And he, this is a side note as well, but he is doing an overall review of our rules to just see if there's any other kind of oddities that stick out that he says, this might be something that you would may want to visit in the future. So just to kind of give things an overhaul, because we are all new, and this is it's obviously a really important thing, and it really, for me, struck home when he came and started talking, and, I never understood what the rule of three was. I feel like I have a much different understanding of it, hearing it from him versus, what I had previously understood, and so... if it's damaging to these people to remove them from a list, that's a pretty serious thing. And I think it's important for all of us to make sure that we, are doing the right thing by the people that we're here to help. So I will continue to seek his counsel and try to include him, like I said, in this whole process so that we, have things set the right way, the way that they really need to be. So
it's going to be helpful to have the meeting on the 16th
before we
have the hearing.
Yeah, that'd be real good. If we can hear back from Scott, we can all talk around just what the process is going to go.
We'll all be on the same
page. And rehearse how the process will go, and that'll make the present a whole lot better and go a whole lot better.
Another one option we would have, too, is if he's not able to attend the hearing, maybe we can get him to call into our meeting in July to kind of talk to all of us so that we, it's not me translating things or whatever, but, if we have questions for him, we can hear them directly, just a quick
briefing memo like you did here, the conduct of the hearing, what are the rights of the parties, I'm concerned with the due process and the blindsiding issue because I've seen that come up in other forums, particularly where the felon's holding the burden of proof. It's kind of like, how can you expect me to get to this bar when everything's secret from me?
Right. Well, and that was one of the big complaints that the appellant had when I spoke with one point. I don't even know what I'm appealing. And it never really I never really thought about it, about the process until these, like I said, that, you know, that I started sending out the letters, which has been the standard procedure, and things started, like, just coming up, like, this, how am I supposed to word this? It seems really, you know what I mean? Like, just things have been coming out of the process that have...
And I think what's fair, but I really want to hear what Scott says, is to make sure that both sides are dealing from the same record. So if the chief wants to present something, we've got to make sure it's been known to the appellant, and if it wasn't known to the appellant, then I don't think we should be hearing it in the hearing.
Okay, well, I will make sure that that happens. I'll talk to Scott about what needs to happen. So, and we, to be totally honest, we have not really talked much about the process of the hearing at this point. It's been like, what do we need to do to get set for the hearing? What are the requirements that we need to follow to make sure that, you know, we set a date, that the parties are notified, that, you know, so that's, those are the next steps. So.
One other question I had, have any of the other city committees or commissions run these administrative hearings and had a similar issue? You know, it might, logistically, it would seem similar. We're hearing civil service appeals, but someone to the design review board or utility action committee, whatever it might be, they may have similar party type situations that have those appeals that come before them on their particular issue. Have they run these appeal hearings or where they have contesting parties against the city or something? Or do we have an administrative law judge up at Rolling Bay or somebody that, that could weigh in and, on how the appeal runs and how this, the hearing should
Okay. I can certainly ask.
So we're not reinventing the wheel. If somebody else has done it and gone through this, I certainly want to hear what Scott has. And if anybody else has done it successfully, then we can learn from that as well.
Okay. I will look.
I'm sure Scott has lots of experience.
Yeah, and he is. I mean, he has a lot of experience with civil service, which is why we use him. So, but I can try, you know, see what the other... I know there's probably some that don't, but there are others that I think may run into that sort of issue. So I will ask around and see what I can come up with, and if there's any process that we can pull from that, certainly we can do that. So. Okay.
So do we need to decide on number 5 then?
So. At this point, I think then we need a motion to set the date for the hearing.
I move that we set the date for the hearing on the 31st of July, 2014, from 9 a.m. to 11 p.m. or until the hearing has been completed.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Unanimous. Carried. It may also be good, if this helps Amber the process, a motion to request a briefing, at least memoranda or points from Scott Snyder until the hearing.
You can't add anything. This is,
okay.
This is a special meeting.
Special limited.
Right. But that's not, I mean, asking me to look into these things is not,
okay.
Does not require a motion, I don't think.
Okay. Then, real fast on the table before we adjourn.
So we also need to determine if the hearing is going to be open or closed.
Do we need to do that now?
Yes.
Okay.
What is the process?
I was hoping to hear from Scott on that, but as I understand it, the appellant request closed, and the chief has no position, or the chief did state a position?
The chief didn't really state a position.
Okay, so we have one argument for close.
So hold on a second. I guess, I mean, it's my understanding that we need to determine today whether it's going to be open or closed. But if we are going to have another meeting, I think the purpose is that they need the notice today, otherwise we infringe on the 20-day rule. And so I think we need to set the date and this today is my understanding.
Okay.
Or we can have another special meeting, but completely cut.
Well, let's talk around the table. My feeling is to go close simply because that's the only firm request that we have. Part of me wants to say we open just in the interest of public information, but I can understand the issues that are going to be private. And I think on this one, the appellate's position is probably going to be the more persuasive.
That's my feelings as well, is that information that's going to be discussed is going to be very privileged. It might be personal, background information, relationships, things that I certainly wouldn't ever want discussed in the open forum. So I would vote for a closed session to give the deference to the appellant.
Has Scott mentioned a preference?
No, there's no, I mean, it's not, there's not really, you know, there's advantages. I think, you know, you guys have stated them, that it is very, generally, it's very sensitive information that is being revealed, and so, but it's, you know, I don't think he can say, this is what you should do. It's really, you know, six one, half dozen the other, you know, as far as that goes. If it was me, I would want it to be closed, because I would calculate the same as Rob. I wouldn't want my personal, you know, details out there for everyone to hear. And again, the decision is public regardless. So whatever comes out of it, everyone's going to know. They just won't know that, you know, they may have a horrible background. You know what I mean? So I don't know. It definitely, he did not indicate one way or another as to what it should be or if there were a preference. He just said that, you know, I need that it's up to them whether they want an open or closed hearing.
Okay. Discussion. We actually should probably take that on a motion.
I move to make the appeal hearing a closed session.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Unanimous. Vote for closed hearing. Okay. And with that, we are adjourned.